Hello, everybody, and welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley from the Illini Guys, and we are here with Steve Sturm today. He is our football writer who is a former college football player. He is a lifelong college football fanatic and really proving his loyalty to a team. He has been a season ticket holder since 2006 for the Illini, and, you know, people of my age who got a chance to go through the 80s and got to go through the early 90s were rewarded with some pretty fun season ticket memories. And Steve has been loyal, but has probably not had that return on investment. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike.
So today here on Eye on the Illini, we want to put one reminder out to you. If you go to IlliniGuys.com, that's where you can subscribe and get all the information on Illini football and basketball, including insider information from Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. We also have a 7-day free trial time before your subscription goes through. I would encourage you to come in, sign up, and I think you'll like what you see, and I hope that you will give us that opportunity. So as we talk today, we're talking about Illini football since Coach Bielema has shown up. He has pretty much made every move that you would want to see out of a football coach taking over a program that has struggled. Steve, what have you seen from Coach before we get into the actual coaches that he's hired and the recruits that he's gotten? What have you seen from Coach and what are your thoughts?
Well, as somebody who has closely followed the creation of several staffs now for the University of Football program, I am really enthusiastic about this group that he's put together. I was excited about his early hires. I think Tony Peterson and Bart Miller were solid choices. The rest of the guys are all well experienced, and you look like he had a few good recruiters. But he finished so strong. When he added George McDonald and Kevin Kane this week, my eyes bugged out as I read over their resumes, as I looked at all they had accomplished in college football already. These are two guys who are going to be head coaches in college football someday. Both of them are, by all indications, are excellent technicians. They're excellent game planners, and they're excellent recruiters. When you think about Illinois coaching staffs in the past, these two would have been among our best hires, even if they'd been hired as the main coordinators. And yet we've got them on as position coaches with, I realize that Coach Bielema gave them an extra title of associate and assistant head coach, whatever that means. And in order to draw them up to Champaign, but essentially, these are guys who are position coaches who might have a little bit more to do with running the program and perhaps with game planning. But these are superstar type coaches. And hopefully Illinois holds on to them for more than a couple of years before they move up in the coaching world. And I just don't think we've had hires like that in recent memory. I think you'd have to go back to the Makovic years before you, since you had hires that you knew. Other Division I power football, power five programs were after and couldn't get that we got. So I'm over the moon with this coaching staff.
Yeah, I've heard so much from people that I respect their opinions, such as yourself, about the coaching staff. And the one thing that you have talked about in your articles, which I thought was really interesting, is this idea of having special teams kind of having multiple coaches involved at the same time. What do you think of that idea, and have you seen it before, and how do you think it's going to work?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, Mike, but yesterday Coach Bielema stole our thunder just a little bit. He had announced early that he was going to have a group of coaches and not somebody who specialized in special teams, which I thought was an excellent idea. I wrote that. However, when the football program announced its final, you know, coaching run out, it did give Bart Miller a dual title of tight end / special teams coach. Now, I think that only means that he's going to be in charge of special teams. If you followed his background, you know that he played in the NFL just a little bit as a long snapper. and that he was in fact a special teams coach for one year in college at a prior stop. But I think what you're going to see is that George McDonald, I think you're going to see Andy Boo working with guys on special teams as well. I think that you're going to see, probably one coach who handles returners, one coach who handles tackling, coverage, and one coach who handles blocking and scheming for returning. And what I said in the article, and I know that this is kind of the basis of not having one special teams coach, is that that means that when you have one rep, you know, you have one kickoff return rep. After the rep, you've got three coaches who come out and say, hey, you did this right, you did this right, you did this wrong. And you get three times the coaching in one rep. Hopefully it works out well. All of that is based on the idea that those three guys can all be on the same page. Obviously, you don't want a returner who's doing one thing and blockers who are doing another. You don't want coverage teams who might, be not on the same page as well, not to mention the specialists themselves. So hopefully those three can all work together. We don't, even though the staff has a common theme, a lot of them have worked together in the past. If you were to do a 6 degrees of separation, you wouldn't have to get past a couple before you see how all these guys had been together before. As a matter of fact, Kevin Kane is the only one who didn't have a previous connection to Coach Bielema. I'm sorry, forget that. He did actually, now that I think of it, he was with Bielema at Wisconsin. So Bielema knows what he's getting with these guys. Hopefully they can work together and have great special teams for us. I think they will. If nothing else, we've got three specialists, primary specialists back, who probably know what they're doing well enough not to have somebody hovering over them.
Good. Well, I know when you sit down and you look at what we have on this staff, and you know, you look at their resumes, you've got guys with a lot of experience and have been in a lot of roles, you know, that would be what we would want. You know, their career is progressing in a positive fashion. When you look at Ryan Walters as a defensive coordinator, he's got a great resume, and Coach Bielema has always had defenses that were tough. They were very disciplined. What do you think the defense is going to look like next year for the Illini fans who have been shell-shocked over the defense the last couple of years?
Well, the good news, and it's fairly unique news for Illinois fans, is that Coach Bielema has said several times that he's going to have an Illinois defense. He's not going to try to recreate the Arkansas defense. He's not going to try to recreate the Wisconsin defense that he coached. And he's not going to try to recreate Missouri's defense from the last couple of years that Ryan Walters coached either. He has said a few times that he is going to go with a 3-4. However, that can mean a lot of different things. That we've seen a 3-4 at Illinois that Vic Caning ran. That was essentially a 4-3. You had a stand-up linebacker who was more or less the weak side defensive end. He lined up on the line of scrimmage on every down. It's just sometimes he dropped back into coverage. Usually had a little bit more size so that he could hold up against the run when he needed to. We may see that. I would guess, based on the fact that we have several smallish defensive ends, that that's what they're going to do. They're going to turn all those smaller defensive ends into rush linebackers on the weak side. Otherwise, I don't know what you're going to do with a guy like Seth Coleman, Isaiah Gay. Obviously, they brought Isaiah Gay back. These guys are 240 pounds. I don't really see them lining up with their hand in the dirt and holding up against a left tackle against the run in the Big Ten anyway. So that's just an educated guess at this point. But I would hesitate to put too much money on any particular role for any of these guys that are coming in. I've written that several times in my articles. I frankly just can't wait to see what happens in spring practice, because that's going to be our first hint at what the defense is really going to look like, and the offense too, for that matter.
Yeah. And like I said, it's kind of like we've got a new novel and we don't know what's going to be on each page as we turn it. It's like reading Game of Thrones, you know, you never knew who was going to die on the next page. And with this one, I don't think we know what they're going to do, but I guess I have faith with the qu- quality of people that he has on board, that, that they're going to be going in the right direction. Any other comments or anything that pops out to you in terms of coaching selections?
Yes. You know, I really should emphasize this. Coach Bielema, of course, like I said, has emphasized this is going to be an Illinois offense. This is going to be an Illinois defense. Where he's not going to run the stuff that he has previously. And when you think about what happened when Lovie Smith came in and how he determinedly tried to hammer square pegs into round holes, had a pretty good team that he took over. I mean, this isn't a team that was going to be in a New Year's Day bowl, but they'd been 5-7 with a chance to, you know, and hung in with a Northwestern team on the last game of the season. Before Lovie came in with an interim coach, just about had a chance to make a bowl in that Soldier Field game that I went to. I was one of the few Illinois fans that was there, and I stayed till the end. When you think about how he took over a pretty good team and then immediately tore it apart, Coach Bielema's constant reminders that he is going to work with the players he has and instead of trying to turn the players he has into something else, that was just music to my ears, because those first couple of years with Lovie where we just lost and lost and lost trying to tell a linebacker who to try to run down the field against wide receivers who had no chance of doing it, how we tried to have wide receivers run long who had no chance of doing it, just the middle of the field in coverage downs was wide open in the early Lovie years. Frankly, it was still wide open last year. I think a lot of us saw that too. It was really music to my ears to know that he is going to try to go with what he has and then adjust from there into what perhaps he can go to in the future. And I should say also, if you look over the offenses that Tony Peterson and Ryan Walters ran in their years too, they weren't afraid to adjust year to year either. It was not a situation where they said, okay, we're running this defense. Everybody learn this defense. This is what we're doing. Ryan Walters radically adjusted his defense year to year, even in year, you could argue last year at Missouri. And Tony Peterson went from an air raid offense to basically a rushing offense that tried to stretch the field on occasion at Appalachian State last year. These are guys who know how to run different kinds of offenses and defenses. Unlike previous coordinators that we've had, I think we can all remember Mike Schultz when he came in during the Zook era and immediately tried to turn us into an option team with being a blocker more than a receiver. And that was just, it would turn into an ugly result and kind of a mutiny on the team, if you remember.
Yeah, I've tried to put that one in the vault and lock it away because those were not happy memories. And I do know, I do appreciate the coaches who change things up. I know in coaching various iterations of AAU teams, you know, I might have one team that plays a 1-3-1 real, really well. And then I get another team and I try to teach them the 1-3-1 and then you roll it out in the game and you're like, okay, we're not going to play that anymore. And I do think you have to have some of that. I think you see that more with high school coaches, who they can't choose what they have every year. And so they have to be a little more flexible. And then you get into college and in theory, once you've been there a while, you can kind of pick and choose for your system. But I'm actually really happy that Coach seems to be more flexible and he may have an end goal out there where he wants to get to. But the fact of the matter is if he's not staffed appropriately with the right players, I'm glad we're not going to see him trying to get there on day one, because we've seen that film enough. And the last 5 years in particular, I see no need for any repeats on that.
Right.
As we look at the recruiting, you know, we've got 5 transfers that have named Illinois as the place they're going to go to. You know, anything jump out at you or any thoughts on any of the 5 and the recruiting in general?
Well, I'm so excited that we got Jafar Armstrong. I wrote that in my article that was up on the site this morning. Not only did we really need just talent at the wide receiver position, we needed experience at the wide receiver position. And this is a guy who, even if those first 2 things weren't true, is going to be a weapon for Illinois. This is a guy who you can guarantee, as long as he's healthy, you can guarantee that this guy is going to make some big plays for us. Even if, God forbid, things don't work out well for him and he's just kind of a part-time gadget type of player, this is a guy who you're going to see score a touchdown that makes your eyes pop so fast. I put in the article, he's a champion sprinter in the state of Kansas in three different events. And then he added 25 pounds of muscle. And if you watch his Notre Dame highlights, you can see that he's breaking tackles from, you know, power five players. They're not on those highlights. He's not just beating up on the, you know, South Florida's reserves in the fourth quarter. He's crushing Michigan starters in some of those plays. And then if they don't get a handle on him, he's gone. You know, he outran the angle on defenders a couple different times. And you're going to see that at Illinois. And then when you start to think about what he can do in goal line situations, if he lines up as a tailback, if he lines up in the slot, he's going to, you know, crossing patterns, corner patterns. I desperately hate the fade play, and he's only 6'1", so I hope they don't go with that. But just about anything other than that, he's just going to be a weapon. When you think about him trying to linebackers trying to outrace him to the corner on a running play or even on a dump off pass, I just don't see many linebackers in the Big Ten that can cover that guy. And then you think about a guy like CJ Hart, just because of the lack of linebackers that we have. And I feel like I should just cut and paste every one of these articles that I've written about linebackers, because Illinois was just in a desperate situation at linebacker. And if you think about, you know, trying to go from a 4-3 to a 3-4, you know, you're adding another slot on the depth chart, and yet you really didn't even have enough guys to fill out the depth chart if we were at a 4-3. So we really needed to add talent at linebacker. We needed to add experience. And a guy like CJ Hart, he didn't get to play a lot at North Carolina State, but he was productive when he was on the field. And this isn't a guy who left because he wasn't good enough to play in the ACC. He's behind an all-conference guy who's also a sophomore. And now he's going to come in. He could be an inside linebacker for us. I could see him being a strong side linebacker on the outside because he can cover a little bit. He can take on blockers. And he got a couple sacks and is only in very little playing time in North Carolina State as well. So I'm sure he can shoot the gap and rush a passer as well. And then Eddie Smith, he didn't put up numbers at Alabama, and I mean that literally. But this is a guy who was on the depth chart. We're not talking about Richie Pettibone, who Illinois fans will remember came in a couple years ago, was an instant starter at Illinois, played decently, didn't really, you know, set the world on fire, didn't have any sort of a hint of an NFL career after that. We were happy enough to have him. But Eddie Smith actually played at Alabama. This is a guy who played in the national championship game. And then if you look at his high school highlights, you can see why. He can really, really run. And he's an agile, fluid athlete as well. I put it in the article. I expect him to be a safety. And then Tony Adams would bump back to cornerback. But you could easily see the opposite being true, too. He's going to be the fastest player on our defense for sure. He and Armstrong can probably race and see who's the fastest player on the roster. My money's probably on Smith, though. And even though Armstrong was a champion sprinter and you can see his results on the field, Smith, from what little you can see from the highlights at Alabama, I couldn't link any because you got to watch, you know, most of a game before you can see him come in. And then he's just running down the field covering guys. Because like I said, he never actually put up any stats, but that's because people didn't want to throw when he was on the field either. I really think this guy could be a corner at Illinois and has the size to be an NFL corner as well. But if he's not, we're blessed to have him in the secondary as well. He's going to be a starter.
Yeah. When I saw him, you know, when you think of a guy who comes in and plays a half in a national championship game, now the circumstances obviously weren't ideal, but he came in and played for Alabama and he's going to be in the Illinois defensive backfield. I was excited. And Jafar, I had one thought and you'll probably shoot it down, but I kind of thought, you know, when you look at his physical build, I kind of thought of Aurelius Ben with more speed. Now that may not be a good comparison, but what do you think of that?
Well, the thing about Aurelius Ben is that he was a natural receiver. He could get open. He could run the whole route tree. and I don't know if Jafar Armstrong can do that. I put in the article, Notre Dame has had a series of guys who have been productive for them in the last few years who were just big, strong, fast athletes who couldn't run the whole route tree. And obviously they didn't do that with Armstrong. It could be because they just liked him as a running back and didn't want to risk, you know, to put him out there outside the hashes. We don't really know what he can do. I think I saw enough highlights to know that he can catch really well. He's got excellent hands. I mean, he's got a couple highlight catches, both in the practice reps that he showed on his video and in his highlight reel from high school. But you don't really know if he can run the whole route tree right now. Even if he can't, like I said, I think even if Illinois, like they did with Josh and Matrabebe, they might just run him only four or five routes and just see if he can get open on those. And he'll probably still make some plays just like Josh and Matrabebe did. But a comparison to Aurelius Ben physically, sure. But Aurelius Ben, I know, could get open. Even in his high school highlights, you could see him running different routes and getting open. And I don't know that we can see that from Jafar Armstrong. Certainly, I hope that we can. But that's the limitation. That's the big question mark with him. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the only question mark with him.
Good, good. Well, what about a few of the players who jumped into the portal, were going to leave, and then, you know, decided to come back? What are your thoughts on that? Because I got to admit, there was a couple there that I was like, wow, that must have been a good selling job by coach and the staff to get them to come back.
Right. That was the first thing that opened my eyes about the Brett Bielema coaching experience. These are guys who were gone. There's no question that these guys were gone. But when you see Rod Perry and Brandon Peters and Owen Carney have a foot out the door and their bags packed, and then all of a sudden they're coming back. These are guys who, you know, have done all they're going to do at Illinois, you'd think, and then they're coming back. That was really surprising to me and says a lot. Bielema said that the first thing he did is have a meeting with all the seniors and do everything and tell them that he was going to do everything he could to bring them back. Owen Carney, in his media availability, mentioned that he was in constant contact with the coaching staff as they were trying to bring him back. And to me, Rod Perry and Owen Carney coming back just is going to make a huge difference on the defense. If you're going to run a 3-4, you've got to have a unique skill set among your defensive core, or your defensive linemen. They've got to be guys who can both stop the run and perhaps, you know, make a play as far as a penetration play, not necessarily rushing the passer, but still threaten the run, threaten the edges on the run, on running plays too. Stop runners from getting outside the contact, perhaps blow up a play by blowing up the guy who's in front of you. Could be a tackle, could be a guard, pushing him back into the backfield. And Rod Perry is by far the best defensive tackle option that we would have had coming into this year. Calvin Avery has potential. We saw him make a few plays when he got a chance to play last year, but Rod Perry is just a much better player. And Owen Carney, to me, was a key as well, because it's really tough to find a defensive lineman who can both take on a tackle and run defense in a 3-4, and then also be a threat rushing the passer. If you can line up a rush linebacker, let's say Seth Coleman, Isaiah Gay, next to him on the outside, and then have him take on a tackle and then force a mismatch with Isaiah Gay or Seth Coleman coming in to hopefully have just a running back against them. Well, hopefully have nobody against them, because we fooled the offense and out-schemed their blocking. But at best, you've got a tight end to chip him and maybe a running back to try to stop him, because Owen Carney is already taking up the offensive tackle's time. I think that's where you get big plays on defense. I was so excited to see Owen Carney and Rod Perry come back.
Yeah, I that was what made me think, okay, if you can sell people who are, looking to move forward with their life, that tells me that when these high school recruits are talking to Coach Bielema, there's going to be some excitement. If he can do that, he can definitely sell Illinois to a prospective, you know, senior who's looking to make a mark in the Big Ten or in a P5 school. to me, that's actually maybe just as that's probably an easier sell in some respects than trying to get somebody who again, once you've kind of made the decision that you've closed this door and you're going to move forward, it's hard to get them to open that door and walk back through to where they thought they were done with. So I was excited about that. Are you, are there any recruits that you hear that you're excited about in the state of Illinois that you hope Coach is going after?
Well, I mentioned this to you, Mike. I'm a little biased about Rashad Rochelle. I went to Springfield High School. He's going to Springfield High School. And Springfield High School does not have a strong history of producing Power Five athletes, and he's the first one they've had in quite a while. I don't know that he's a quarterback at the next level, but he is a difference maker. And I could see us being the University of Illinois using him in a variety of roles. I think he's the type of guy that you bring in, give him a year or two to see if he can play quarterback, and then say, you know, there's the wide receivers room. Why don't you start hanging out in there now? And I think he could be good in either way. People in Rochester really love Hank Beatty as well. I've only seen him play a couple times, but he is one of those guys that you want on any team because he's on the details all the time, hard worker, quick enough to get open, I would say. You know, they're going to be eyebrows raised about his 40 time and his size, but he's the type of guy that you certainly want to root for his success, regardless of where you are in the state of Illinois, because he could be that guy that Illinois has been missing as far as people always like to talk about what Mike Dudek could have been. And hopefully Hank Beatty can stay healthy and be what Mike Dudek could have been.
Excellent. So that is a fantastic update from Steve Sturm, who does football writing for us, and you can see has the analytical side covered in terms of giving us ideas about what's going to go on, and more importantly, why he feels it's going to be that way. I would encourage any of you out there, if you have a subscription to Illini Guys, make sure that when Steve has an article out, you want to read it. And you will not only learn about the player involved or the coach involved, but you'll get a little bit of acumen built up as he gives you the whys behind what he believes. Steve, thanks for coming on today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yep. And so as we wrap up this podcast, I want to remind everybody that one of the first 300 subscribers will win the Maui stay. And please take a look at that contest when you're on the website. We also, as I said earlier, have the 7-day trial period. We'd love to get as many people to come on board and enjoy our stuff. I think if you're there for 7 days, you'll decide you want to stay with us a little bit longer. But for the Illini guys, this is Mike saying goodbye, and have yourself a fantastic week. Thanks, everybody.